Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jadeveon Clowney has left the building. Good morning, Metroplex. We take you inside the Star on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. You know we provide the best coverage around. That's not opinion. That is fact. If you love your football team, football in general, or sports in the Metroplex, which we started off the show with that awesome Rangers sweep. Sean Tariff, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. Josina Anderson broke the story yesterday that Jadeveon Clowney was visiting the Cowboys. I think that was Josh Brent next to him.
It is. Yeah, Josh Brent's still in the building. I don't remember what his exact role is, but I mean he's still maintained with the team in the personnel department.
Crazy story that he's still around after everything that happened.
Yeah, he was somebody who obviously they kind of rallied around him at the time when that happened, when Jerry Brown died in that car accident. But yeah, Josh Brent has stayed around the team almost the entire time since he left the league. He's been around the organization.
So Anderson reports, I'm told Clowney has now left the facility, left without signing a contract. The plan was for him to go to Dallas yesterday for a visit and a physical.
Yeah, this is always, whenever you tell me the whole, all right, well, we're leaving. He's just going to go get looked at, whatever else. And he's not here for anything that's, you know, we just want to get a look. We want to do this or that. That's when he says, all right, you're not doing it. You're not signing him. Because generally, the idea of, well, look, we're just focused on the Giants right now, but we may circle back on this. It's like, well, you're going to be focused on the opponent the next 15 weeks, too. So you're just telling me you're never signing anybody?
A bye week.
Or, yeah, you'll look at him at the bye week, I guess. But, yeah, this is...
spring break.
I don't know. Either they saw something they didn't love in the medical, I guess, or... I don't know what the reason was to just bring him in to work out or to look at him.
Well, what if the money was off?
Man, you got to spend you've got all that cap room right now. You got to spend it like
the floor.
You don't
have to spend it.
No, you
they're
do
not at the floor?
No, like they've got to spend. They've still got money they have to spend.
Have to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Right now for this season before carrying it over.
Yeah. And so they can do different things to probably
Like resign.
Know, like they can just do different things with charges, and they've got space obviously for Tyler Smith. But yeah, I mean they got money they got to spend. So to me, I just said even if he's asking for, I don't know what it would be. Let's say he's asking for $10 million or something like that. Okay, do it. I mean, you thought you were gonna have to pay 40 this year to somebody, so just go ahead or 42. Go ahead and pay for 1 year.
Well, I need to know when the deadline is to get to the cap floor. I'm not just giving Jadeveon 10 unless the deadline is tomorrow, because other guys are going to be available. But I was hoping that this did get done.
I mean, he's, well, for an entertainment perspective, he's a name. Love names. But he's also been a solid player.
Yeah.
Not an elite player. Didn't live up to the pick, but super good.
I mean, might disagree about him not being elite. I thought he was elite at one point. He was pretty damn good.
What did you watch yesterday?
I went back, watched him last year to try and just kind of get an idea of like, all right, where is he at in his career at this point? So when we look at him in year, whatever this is, 10, 11, actually it's probably even more than that now. Jeez.
He started in 2014.
Yeah, so this would be year 12 for him. So
he's earned $97 million.
He is not He's not the freak show athlete who blew up Vincent Smith at Michigan anymore. Like, the guy that came out of college was so explosive and so...
He was a freak.
...powerful and athletic. And that's not really who he is anymore. He's much more about, all right, savvy and high IQ type of player. So he is still one of the most disciplined edge defenders you can watch on tape, even now. Against the run, he is still...
Love that.
...guy who sets the edge... Locks out, sheds, forces everything back inside. You do not see, when they are all worried about freelancing from Mike and stuff like that, Jadeveon Clowney does not freelance. He is.
Is he a better run defender than Tank? Like right now, you would
think?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. No, yeah. Jadeveon Clowney is still very, very good against the run, I think. So to me, that's a guy who, if you're talking about getting better with discipline, playing within the scheme, stopping the run, he fits into all that. So that makes sense for some of the stuff they've been looking for.
Yeah.
As a pass rusher, it's not the raw burst anymore. It's not that just explosive pass rusher. It's craft now. So it's, you know, cross chops, long arm, inside counter. He's playing the game a lot more. You can tell he's more into his toolbox. It's more when he wins a rep and gets a sack, it feels very much like, you know, all right, young buck, see, that's I'm teaching you. I'm showing you the game a little bit there because he's just
Mr. Miyagi handwork.
And Brian brought this out yesterday. His best games you saw last year were against like Kansas City and Denver. And like, I mean, he was playing his biggest games against the highest leverage opponents. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't look at him as a guy who's going to wreck shop anymore, but he is somebody who, if you want to improve your run defense, he is a difference maker against the run. And he's somebody who's still effective enough as a pass rusher that he can contribute. And it's not just like, you're not getting anything in terms of pass rush.
Yesterday, I referenced the salary. Corey Majors heard us talking about this on KNC. This is what I'm wondering on how much this played into him leaving the building. It's all over the place. Again, starting in 2021, he made $7 million, then $9.7 million, then $4.5 million, then $10 million, then last year, $2 million. So I don't know what is determining. Maybe it's desperation. Maybe it's the needs of the rest of the league. What is determining? No, I'm going to ask for $7 million this year, or I'm going to settle for $2 million. Like, we're not in a range here. We're back and forth all over the place.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he's been. We've talked about how he is essentially. Yeah, he's the mercenary. Every year, it feels like there's. I'm trying to think of other guys who are similar. You mentioned Revis yesterday. We've had Yannick Ngakoue in recent years, who it seems like every year somebody needs a team needs somebody to rush the passer. All right, give him a call. He'll be out there. He'll be able to contribute for you. So that's essentially what Jadeveon Clowney has become at this point in his career. He's comfortable with it. But yeah, it has led to all over the map sort of what his value has become.
So I'm trying to figure out when they have to meet the floor. This is just AI, who I now trust with everything. NFL teams don't have to reach a salary cap floor for each season. They must meet an 89% average spending requirement over a four-year rolling period. The NFLPA audits team payrolls each September to ensure that the four-year average threshold is met. Final deadline for any team payrolls to be submitted to the league coming after the regular season concludes. So that doesn't really give me an answer.
It's just a rolling 4 years.
Yeah.
So, like, wherever they are.
Yeah. So, Clowney is not signed as of now. And then this news came out. I'm terrified over this. Here I am. I'm ready for 4-2. I'm ready for an easy win over the Giants. I'm ready to take out the Chicago Bears. I'm ready to get to over 500 definitely before the Green Bay matchup in Arlington. And then the news comes out that Deron Bland's other foot is hurt. And he is supposed to miss multiple weeks, that he's gone for the Giant game, potentially may sideline him for more than 1 week. The injury is not the same foot that Bland suffered the fracture on last season before the Cowboys paid him $90 million. It looks like Deron Bland is gone for weeks.
Ooh.
No!
Yeah, this hurts. And it came out of nowhere. And you wonder, like, My first thought when I saw that it was the other foot, it was like, all right, was this a compensation? Was there still something wrong with the foot? Wasn't great. And he overcompensated for it. And that's how he...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurt the other foot.
I mean, Brian was hearing this happened in the practice on Monday. That was a light practice. Like, that wasn't anything I would think that I wouldn't think he's doing anything in that practice where it's like he's got to overcompensate. They weren't driving really hard in those practices on Monday.
This is terrifying to me. You know, I don't care who the receivers are on the other side. Like, you got New York, you got Chicago, you got Green Bay, then you got the Jets, Carolina before the schedule starts getting tougher. Like, you have to come out of the gate early, and now you're relying on a still recovering Trayvon Diggs. You swapped out two corners right before. It wasn't just Micah that got swapped out before the season started. You got rid of two corners for two no-names, two unknowns that you brought in and replaced them with. Nashawn Wright getting pick sixes on Monday Night Football, not even enough to stay around here. What are they going to do?
I mean, yeah, they're in a pinch now. This is, I mean, I don't want
Malik Nabers going up against Trayvon Diggs all game.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an instance of you're going to have obviously Diggs, who they're trying to ramp up and get him up to the point where he's good to go 100%. He played really well against Philadelphia, but you've got Diggs and Elam. That's going to be your main outside corners is what you'd be looking at. And then if you're talking about playing the nickel, they've got what they'd want to do the whole time was just move Bland inside. What you could do at this point is Reddy Stewart, who's one of the guys that they brought in here. They also brought in TriQuest Bridges. Those are the types of guys that you might be looking at having to roll in here. But those are guys who've been here for 2 weeks and were guys who were released. They were free. It was other teams going, we don't need them on our 53-man roster. It is an extremely thin corner group right now.
877-881-1053. Tyler Guyton got fined $12,000 for the slap, for that head slap. He deserved to get fined for that. Lucky it wasn't a penalty. Guyton said he plans to appeal.
He was in politician mode in the locker the other day. He was just like, I just want to be clear. What I was doing was holding here and I basically like my momentum. Yeah. He was trying really hard to say like, it was just a total accident.
Yeah, he reared back on that one.
Where is the slap on the disrespect scale?
Below spinning, probably.
Sure, but where is it? Second. Although, if you had to choose which one to happen to you, you're probably I would the slap will hurt more.
Yeah, a lot more. Spit is grosser, and the spit gross is somebody who
so
is
degrading. Like you have zero respect for me.
Yeah, that's somebody who's disrespecting me. Like that's somebody who has a lot more disrespect. Somebody who's slapping, they're just here we go.
Slapping's close. Like that's Charles Oakley's move. Charles Oakley would just open hand face slap people. Malik Nabers, a lot of attention that he and Brian Daboll, they already hate each other. Apparently, they talked about the sideline incident where he would not give Daboll the high five. He looked depressed. The Tyreek Hill of the NFC in terms of being unhappy. And Malik yesterday just explained, no, that's how I wake up.
You know, and everybody was talking about just how I was, how an attitude and stuff like that. It's just, I got an NBF. I got a natural bitch face. That's just what it is. My face. I don't know. Like when y'all talk to me, I look the same way every time. I don't know. It's just how I am. But I guess I got a small one.
It's not an RBF. It's an NBF, a natural biatch face for Malik Nabers, as I'm going to Google Image to see how many times he's just looking disinterested and unhappy, but he said, no, that's just my natural face.
And there was a guy walking yesterday, just walking, right? I'd never seen him before. An older gentleman, he had a small white mustache, like just one of those perfectly manicured mustaches that never went beyond the side of his lip. This guy looked like the most miserable human being ever. Just this scowl. Didn't say hi, didn't nothing. Just this scowl on his face. And that is that.
It's Thursday at 6:40. That means it's time for the payload with Philip Russell. Is height the number one thing that you lie about? And are you ready for your brand new phone? It's the payload with Philip next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.